We'll turn again to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to Luke's Gospel and to the chapter number 13. And just with God's Word open before us, and let us just bow together in a short word of prayer together. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our gathering. We pray, Lord, that Thou would intensify that sense of Thy presence. We pray, Lord, that this night, O God, that each one of us in this gathering will hear the speaking voice of God to our hearts and to our souls. We do pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt speak through Thy Word to the hearts of those that are yet unconverted and unsaved, and that by Thy grace this night they may be made wise unto salvation. Speak, Lord, through Thy Word to the sanctifying, the building up of Thy people, to the drawing of every believer closer, Lord, to Thyself. And speak through Thy Word, O God, to the glorifying, to the honouring of Christ, our beloved Saviour and our great Redeemer. Pour out Thy Holy Spirit, O God, upon us to this end. Empty me of self and of sin, Lord. Cleanse my heart, O God, afresh in the precious blood. Fill me, Lord, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Lord, we pray that the Word of God would be attended with the power and the ministry of God the Holy Ghost to each and to every waiting heart, as Thou alone would see that need. Do abide with us, Lord, to this end. Do bless us, O God, and do every heart good this night, we pray. For we ask it all in Jesus' name and for Thine eternal glory. Amen. Now our text for this evening is a little phrase of Scripture that we find there in the middle of verse number 8 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. And it is these words, "Let it alone this year also." Let it alone this year also. Now our text here is really the words of the vine dresser to the owner of the vineyard in the parable of the barren fig tree. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself spake this parable. And here He tells us about a man who plants a fig tree in his vineyard. Despite being looked after well by the vine dresser, the tree is fruitless. It bears no fruit. And for 3 years the owner waits and watches, and still no fruit is born. No fruit appears. And because of its lack of fruit, the owner says that the tree must be cut down. It must be hewn down. It must not be allowed to cumber the ground anymore and to waste that space in the vineyard. However, we read in the parable how the vine dresser, he pleads for this fig tree. He intervenes in its behalf, and he asks the owner to spare the tree for another year. And his plea for mercy to this tree to be spared is found in the words of our text tonight in verse 8. When he says to the owner of the vineyard, "Let it alone this year also." And making this particular request, he promises to dig about the tree and to dung it. And if there is still no fruit after this year of care and good husbandry, then he agrees with the owner that the tree must be cut down. My dear people, whenever we consider this barren fig tree, I believe we see here a wonderful gospel message to every unrepentant sinner. Yes, a message from God to every unrepentant sinner who still rejects Christ as their Savior, despite having heard the gospel message often in their ears and in their heart and in their soul. Yes, this text, "Let it alone this year also," I believe, is a picture of God's wonderful mercy to the sinner who is still without Christ as Savior. Yes, these words before us, they portray to us the patience of God. They highlight to us the long sufferings of God, that God in grace is one who gives a sinner time to repent. God is one who in grace gives the sinner opportunity to turn from his sin and to turn to Christ and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone as his own and personal Savior. Tonight in this gospel service, this first gospel meeting of 2012, as we look at these words and consider them as a picture of God's mercy to the sinner in 2012, there are just three things I want us to note. But friend, if you're in the meeting tonight on save, note this. This is God's message to you who are still out of Christ. It's a message about God's wonderful, superabounding mercy toward you. What then can we glean from this little text? Notice first of all with me that we see here a reminder of God's past mercies to the sinner. Again in verse 8, our text says, "Let it alone this year also." Notice that little word "also." Just four letters in it, a word that we might think is unimportant, that we might, as it were, pass over in our reading of the text, yet it is very important. Because it shows that in former times, this particular fig tree enjoyed mercies. It enjoyed the mercy of time, and it enjoyed the mercy of position. Now you read of its merciful position in verse 6 of this chapter. Notice what it says there. It says of Christ, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree and planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Now it was planted in a vineyard. It was looked after. It was cared for. It was manured. It was pruned. It was fertilized. It was tended to. What a merciful position this fig tree was in this vineyard. But you read also of its merciful time. Look again at verse 7 of the chapter. It says, "Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree." And there you see how the owner of the vineyard had given this tree 3 years to bear fruit. Now it was given time to produce a harvest, to bring forth fruit. And people, whenever you think of the past mercies that this fig tree enjoyed, may they remind us also of God's mercies to poor and to needy sinners. Perhaps I'm speaking to one tonight in our gospel service. And as you view your past life, we often do that at the end of 1 year and the beginning of another year. And as you would view your past life, yes, you too can say, "Yes, I have enjoyed, I have known a possession of mercy in my life and in my soul." Yes, in the past you have often heard the preaching of the gospel of Christ. In the past you have often been warned about hell and your need to flee from the wrath to come. In the past you have often been warned about the awful consequences of your sin. Yes, in past times you have often been told about your personal need for you to repent of your sin. In past times, yes, you have often been invited to come to Christ, to trust Christ, to embrace Him as your own and personal Savior, to trust in His atoning sacrifice alone for the salvation of your soul and the forgiveness of all of your sins. Indeed, the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. As you look back over your past life and review it at the beginning of this new year, yes, you can say God has been good. God has been good to you as an individual. He has given you a favored possession just like this fig tree. And my, what has been the purpose of God's goodness toward you? Has it not been, my friend, to lead you to that place of repentance toward God? Oh, hear the word of God in your heart and in your soul tonight. The goodness of God, it leadeth thee to repentance. How merciful your position has been in the past. Or perhaps also tonight I'm speaking to one at this beginning of 2012. And also as you look back in your past, you too can reflect in your life. And you can say, "Yes, preacher, I've known the mercy of time. God has given me time." Has it been the case that God has given you much more than 3 years, like was given to this fig tree to bear and bring forth fruit and a harvest? Yes, God has given you many more years than 3 years to repent and get right with God and seek Christ for salvation. My God has given you your childhood. God has given you your teenage years. He's given you your youth. He's given you your adulthood. Yes, He has given you your prime of life. Maybe even tonight you're in the very eventide of your life. Yet still you have not repented of your sins. Yet still you have not sought Christ for salvation. You've known the privilege of time. The mercy of time. Time to get right with God. Time to be saved. To repent of your sin. Over in the book of the Revelation, we read there of a certain woman called Jezebel. An ungodly, sinful woman. And this is what the Lord said about her. He says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. God gave her time. He was merciful to her to get right with God. Yet God sadly had to say, and she repented not. Tell me tonight, is it the case? As God speaks to your heart and speaks to your soul, in this first Sabbath evening of 2012, does God also have to say to you, my friend, yes, I gave you space to repent of your sin, and you repented not. Now the hymn writer says, long, long has He called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. Look back over your life tonight. How often has the Lord not called you? Called you to turn from your sin and turn to Christ and embrace Him and trust Him as your Savior. Oh, how favored has been your position. How favored has been your time. Yes, for years God has been calling you to repent, calling you to get right with God. My, as the owner here in the parable waited patiently for fruit on this tree, likewise God also has been patiently waiting for fruit in your life. The fruit of repentance toward God, the fruit of a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Yes, this little text tonight, let it alone this year also. Yes, my friend, it reminds you of God's past mercies in your life. How great those mercies have been to hear the gospel, to be given time to get right with God and to repent of your sin. Yes, we're reminded here of past mercies in the life of the sinner. But notice secondly tonight that this little text also reminds us of present mercies. Look carefully again at the words that are used here in verse 8 of Luke chapter 13. And it says, let it alone this year also. Notice those two words, this year. And those words show us that this particular fig tree was allowed to enjoy another year. It was given, if you like, a present mercy. Was allowed to remain in this vineyard for another year. What for? To bring forth fruit. And to bring forth a harvest. Look at verses 8 and 9. Notice what the vine dresser says there. He says, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit well. The life of this tree was spared for one more year. To bring forth fruit that was pleasing to the owner of the vineyard. And you know this mercy here of this other year for this particular tree. My, it's a picture of God's present mercy to you who are still unsaved. To you who are still out of Christ. In this gospel service here at the beginning of 2012. My friend, God has spared you another year. He has allowed you to see the light of 2012. And He has given you more time in bringing you into this new year to repent of your sin. He has given you more time to trust in Christ and to embrace Him as your own and personal Savior. Yes, He has allowed you to enter into this new year despite your past sin. Despite your past rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, what has God done? God has shown mercy to you and sparing you to this point of time and allowing you to enter in to 2012. Tell me tonight, will this year also, will it be different from the rest of the years of your life? Tell me tonight, will this year, 2012, be the year of your salvation? Will it be the year of grace in your soul? Will it be the year of you turning away from your sin and turning to God and turning to Christ for salvation? Or tell me, will it be another year of sinning against God? Will it be another year of saying no to Christ as my Savior? Will it be another year of rejecting the gospel and turning your back upon the gospel of our blessed Lord and Savior? Will it be another year of just going on as you are in your sin without a care, without a thought, without a concern for your soul or for God or for Christ? Will it be that kind of a year? Will 2012 be a year of further procrastination? Will it be another year of putting off the vital matter of your soul's salvation? Will that be how it will be with you this year? Procrastinating, putting off Christ. Putting off getting right with God. Putting off getting saved. You know, it has been said that procrastination is the devil's delight, and that's true. Friend, the devil delights in your sin. He delights in you going on in your sin unrepentant before God. He delights in your continual rejection of Christ, your continual saying no to Christ as your own and personal Savior. Why does He delight in such a course of action in your life? For He knows that such a course of action in your life and soul, if you continue in it, will damn your soul forever and a lost eternity. And hell itself. That's why the devil delights in you going on in your sin. Going on unrepentant. Going on rejecting Christ as your Savior. He delights, for he knows that path will take you down to the pit. Down to a lost, Christless, hopeless eternity. And a lost eternity. Yes, he knows that such a way will damn your soul in hell. Without a hope of ever being saved. Dying without Christ as your Savior. Tell me tonight that if you should be spared to the end of this year, to the end of 2012, will it be another year of swinging, as it were, on the pendulum of indecision between heaven and hell? Will it be another year of indecision between Satan and Christ? Will it be another year of indecision between sin and repentance toward God? If you should see the end of 2012, tell me, will I be preaching to you as Elijah preached to Israel when he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Will that be the case if you're spared to the end of 2012? Tell me, when you come to the end of 2012, will you be saying, "Preacher, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Friend, almost persuaded to be a Christian. Let me tell you this. It's not enough to save your soul. It is not enough to fit your soul for heaven. Why do I say that? If there is no fruit of repentance in your life toward God, if there is no fruit of saving faith in Christ as your own and personal Savior, then your soul will perish. Your soul will be lost forever in hell. Look at what Christ says in this chapter. Look at verse 3 of the chapter. And he reemphasizes it again in verse 5 of the same chapter. Notice what he says. "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And in case we miss the truth, he says the same thing over again in a few verses in verse 5 when he says, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." What a solemn statement. except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Yes, this little text that speaks to us about past mercies speaks to us about present mercies. But finally tonight, I want you to see that this little text, it also speaks to us about a limited time of mercy. Notice again carefully the words that are used in our text. It says, let it alone this year also. Notice those words, this year also. And they show to us that this tree had one extra year, but it had no more. It had a limited time of mercy. My limited mercy was set upon its lifespan. If there was no fruit after this 1 year, it would be cut down. It would be no more in this particular vineyard. Look at what the remaining part of verse 9 says. Look at what the vine dresser agrees to. He says, if it bear fruit, well, and if not, if there's no fruit after this 1 year. And he says, then after that, he says to the owner of the vineyard, he says, thou shall cut it down. It speaks to us about a limited time of mercy. And unsafe friend, at our meeting tonight, I must warn you that your life has only a limited time of mercy. Because God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And if you will not repent of your sin, if you will not seek Christ and trust Him as your Savior, then a time will come when God's mercy for you will be gone. A time will come when God will cut you down in judgment. Listen to what the Word of God says. Says, he that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy. What a solemn statement. God's word says, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. My this year also of 2012, my friend, could well be your last year. It could well be my last year. Yes, you may be spared in the mercy and the providence of God to see the end of 2012. But on the other hand, you may not be spared to see the 31st of December 2012. Why do I say that? Because death is certain. Death can come suddenly. Death can come swiftly for us all. You think tonight of Schubert's Unfinished Symphony. Why was it called an Unfinished Symphony? Because he died in the prowess of his early days, cut off suddenly at just 31 years of age. He died suddenly and left behind an unfinished work of music. You think tonight of Captain Scott of the Antarctic fame. What was the last entry in his diary? It was simply this, tomorrow we shall, and then there was nothing more. Nothing more was said. Nothing more was written. Why? Because death came upon him suddenly. Death came upon him swiftly. Friend, don't be fooled into thinking that you are going to live forever. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. The wise man Solomon says, to everything there is a season, a time to be born and a time to die. That's God's appointment for us all. You think of Methuselah. The Bible tells us he lived over 900 years. 969 years he lived. What a long life he had. But he still had to die. He had to go the way of all flesh. My statistics would tell us that the two people die in this world every second. You think of that. In the space of the hour of this service, statistics would tell us that almost are in and around 7,000 people somewhere on the face of this world have passed from this scene of time out into God's eternity. Friend, you and I have only a limited time on this earth, in this scene of time. Yes, this verse, this text speaks to you, my friend, unsaved, of a limited time of mercy. What if this should be your last year? What if you should never see the end of 2012? That being so, you do well to ask the question, am I ready to die tonight? Am I ready to meet God? Am I ready to meet my Maker? Am I ready to face eternity? Am I ready for heaven? Oh, ask yourself these questions tonight. As you sit in this gospel meeting, as you think of God's Word to your heart and to your soul. Oh, ask yourself the question tonight, am I prepared for Christ's coming? His sure and certain return, when He will come to judge this world in righteousness. My, if the midnight cry were to go up tonight, behold, the Bridegroom cometh, would you be going out to meet Him with joy or gladness, or would you meet Him with sadness and consternation in your heart? Would you be sure of heaven? Would you be sure of glory? Tell me, if this were to be your last night on earth, are you ready today? Are you ready to meet your Maker? Are you ready for heaven? Oh, friend, in light of such solemn questions, God says, prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. And friend unsaved tonight, this is what you must do if you are still unsaved. And the way for you to prepare is to come as a penitent sinner to Christ, acknowledging and confessing your sins to Christ and looking away from yourself and everything of man and looking by faith to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone upon the cross for your salvation. The Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. He's the one you must look to at the beginning of 2012 for your soul's salvation. What are you going to do tonight with Christ? Are you going to reject Him again tonight? Are you going to go out of this gospel service trampling underfoot the precious blood of Christ? Will you go out without that fruit of repentance toward God, without that fruit of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? What, my friend, if God should say of you tonight, cut it down. What if this would be your last night on earth? Where would you be? Where would you spend eternity? This is all that matters, friend. Nothing else matters. And for you to be saved and right with God and ready for heaven, I tell you tonight, only the blood of Christ can blot out all your sin before God. And praise God, the blood of Christ can blot out your sin, whatever your sins may be or may have been. Only the righteousness of Christ can give you peace with God and afford you acceptance with God and an eternal life in heaven. Oh, friend, tonight, on this horse Lord's Day evening of 2012, I urge you, if you're still unsaved, be you young, be you old in this meeting, to look by faith to Christ, to call upon Him and to trust Him as your Savior. Then this year also of 2012 will be the year of your salvation. It will be the best year that you've ever lived. For when you have Christ as your Savior, you have that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. You have grace abundant to meet your every need. You have the wonderful joy and assurance of looking forward to heaven, of being with the Lord one day in glory. What a difference. Those that die unsaved, who die out of Christ, who die rejecting the Lord as their own and personal Savior. Oh, listen to the text tonight. God says, let it alone this year also. This night, friend, will you not turn to the Lord? Will you not seek Him and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. We're just going to bring our meeting tonight to a close by singing together the hymn number 225. 225. Have you any room for Jesus, He who bore your load of sin? As He knocks and asks admission, sinner will you let Him in. Oh, that your heart's door would be open tonight, that you would seek the Lord and let Him in and make a place in your heart for Him as your Savior and as your Lord. We'll stand as we sing 225. Prayer, but there's one tonight, and there's a concern in your soul to get right with God. You know things aren't right between you and God, that you're not ready for heaven. Friend, we would urge you in the final moments of this meeting, lift your heart up in prayer to God. Cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Ask the Lord to save you. And His great promise is, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If I can be of any help to you after the meeting, I'll be no hurry away. I'd be only too glad to open up and share the Word of God with you, point you to Christ, the Lamb of God, who can save your soul, who can fit you for heaven. Friend, there's nothing more important this year than for you to be saved, for you to be sure of heaven. Father, we commit the issues of this meeting to Thee. While man's voice is silent, Lord, speak on, we beseech of Thee. Bless all those that are saved. Lead them on with God. And any in our gathering that are not yet saved, Lord, speak to them. Disturb the sleep of death in their soul. And Lord, give them no rest nor peace this night until they make their peace, O God, with Thee through Christ. Give believing faith and deciding grace to this end. Part us with Thy fear and favour and blessing in this new week and in this new year that lies before us. May the grace of God be our abounding portion. Grant now that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the abiding fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide with every heart and soul this night and forevermore. Amen.